To record. I don't know if you want to record. It's supposed to be in Eretz Yisrael. So, I guess this is part of the supposed to be able to share a few words with Bnei Torah, Poiz Achsanya, Rosh Hashiv and Abdovitz. I'm not here to say any Torah, I'm not the person to say Torah, but I had a schus, one of the, if anything, few schuyot in my life to be around certain gedolim, and one of them was Reb Moshe Feinstein Zatzal. So, I don't think he would be very happy if I said I was his Talmud. I don't know if I profess to follow, as we'll see, what he epitomized, what he stood for. In the parasha, I'm just give me a few seconds. I don't have any torn with me. I have to give me a few seconds just to get what's happening. In the parasha of Shlomim, I believe Rashi says the reason it's called a Shlomim is because it comes a notion of shlemus. There's three shlemus. One is that the basar is eaten. Okay, with me a second. Oyla, Osham. That the bosses goes, the mizbeach gets it, the kehanim get, and the baidim get it. Everyone's happy when there's a shlomim. That's the point, but that's what Rashi says. Everyone's happy. Everyone has something from it. And in avodas Hashem, that's also true. There are three parts. There's ben odom lamochen, ben odom lachaveiroi. And the third part, ben odom la'atzmoi. A shleim is the three shleims. Let's call it that, three shleims. The avoid of every person, and that's especially now here up in Chodesh Elul, and either doidi v'doidi li, what is that? To be close, to have shleimus. That the person never we unfortunately never reach our real shleimus, but that's the bottom line from this act and everything that we could do. And there's three shleimus, the ben odom la'mokoyim, ben odom la'chaveiroi, ben odom la'atzmoi. Ben odom, I'm going to start with ben odom la'atzmoi. I'm not sure if I can't talk to me now with his revolution. Ben odom la'atzmoi was that he was the person, so I don't know what he was thinking. But watching and seeing this week's parasha, I believe everyone knows the famous words of the Arizal to finish a whole parasha of the Toichecha, and all the way at the end it says in the Toichecha, it says the whole thing Tachas HaShavat HaShashem HaKech B'Simchum Tuvdeiho. Tachas means instead of. A person has Baruch Hashem so much and so good, and we've given so much to work with Kalim, first as a goof, and the Shoma. So why doesn't he use it? Tachas, instead of using what you were given, you switch it over, you replace it. Tachas Shavat Hashem Akechus Simchum Tuvleiv. The Arizal says that all of his madregas that he reached, all of his madregas were because he was Avodas Hashem. What is Simcha? All the Tzvorim say, so what is Simcha? Not a person always jumping up and down, and then at the toilet. Simcha is a person is b'shleimus with himself. His guf, his neshama, both are keep right. He's not too much begashmi, and his neshama, he knows what he has to do for the neshama, certain mitzvahs. So that's shleimus, that's Simcha. Shleimus is Simcha. Simcha and shleimus goes together. Person that we know, what people are today depressed. Years ago, maybe there was such a thing, so I'll talk about more shkari, depression. But today it's a very big business, you know, a lot of psychologists, psychiatrists, It's good for business. Why are people depressed? Because Be'etzim, they're not happy with themselves, because they're not doing what they have to do. And they can't come to their own. Some people became crazy, people didn't become crazy all of a sudden. And they're not crazy either, just they can't understand what they want. Rabbi Shitatzal, you never saw, and I think it's a very important thing, you didn't see a shinui in his mouth. First of all, that's tmidius, he was consistent in everything he did, because it's very simple. There's a blueprint for the Torah. So you know, you get up in the morning, you start in the mitzvah. You don't have to go looking to have a good time. If Torah was his whole life, now how do you get to that point that Torah is your whole life? I don't know. I can't answer you that. And I don't know if he would have answered that too, because he probably would have said, like, what else do you do? They do say that he appreciated that he was a good chess player, and at a certain age, I'm not sure if it was 5 or 8, that he gave it up and learned. So whatever you do, we're not talking about here craziest one. Whatever amount of time that a person is supposed to do, I think the Chabtai makes a cheshbin. It's good, it's not a good fellow. I think he makes a cheshbin. Someone who's in a yeshiva, let's not use someone as chayvus in the family. But I think he said a yeshiva bocher. You have to daven, he gave, I think, a half hour, let's say half hour for each davening, work on that, 45 minutes plus another hour. Better than an hour and a half davening, and another 15 minutes, 20 minutes for eating. It's another hour, 2.5 hours. Take 8 hours sleeping and whatever else you need to do in that time. It's you're holding by about 10.5 hours. You add another. So, but that's already giving a lot of time. The Rebbe Tzal, I think, stopped a bocher, and he was late for a seder. So he asked why he's late. He said he's eating. He said, how long does it take? He said it takes 5 minutes to eat, 10 minutes to bench. Just 15 minutes. You have a lot of time. So it's one way of looking at it. But even so, if you make that judgment and that dominating 2 hours and 8 hours, I don't know if everyone gets 7 hours sleep, you'd be very happy. It's 8 hours, it's 10 hours, 12 hours. But then you rested and everything is perfect. You took care of everything you need. You went to the bank. So you have 12 complete hours of no distraction to learn. That's called science judgment. I don't know why it doesn't work, but for some reason you made the judgment. It's supposed to work. And in the yeshiva, Rav Moshe said, what does it mean a seder? To think that way. A seder is, you have something that carries, like a wash. So it's true, you have to know how many washing machines are in the building, but it's not important. You have to do something, so now I have to do that, to take care of certain things. Everything is true, and you should and you can. But seder means that I have a kindness for someone else as well. There are 20 people learning in the Spanish, 100 people in the yeshiva. At this, you can't do what you want during the Zman HaSeder, because then you're making much weaker the Seder. Everyone has to describe to someone else, that's a shtickle by Nodal Haveri. You don't think of it that way. That's why it's called Seder. Chutzus Zorim, you do what you want. You have extra time, obviously, you learn. So, in his vein, Odom Laatzoy, he understood what his Eschaivasin were to the Rebbeinu Shalom. And he understood this is shown very well. It's interesting to point out, we'll say a few master stories. I don't remember seeing it, I can't tell you that story, but every year Mashkiach was in Yeshiva spoke and said that every Rosh Hashanah before Mincha, and he was by us in the Yeshiva, that you would see him learning in the Sefer Ma'aseh Gedolim from the Bali Musa. Stories of the Bali Musa, because that really, from actual happenings, you learn a lot. So for himself, he was always, everything was fine. Only fine to stop the seat. He was consistent. He learned his manmur one time, the little thing that he was late. He was late because shiurim one, because he had a lot more time, because he only slept on a regular basis, I think, 4 or 5 hours, maybe. But it helped, but he kept those sedarim always. Thursday, he said shiur Friday morning. Friday mornings he said shiur for afternoon. And you would think that a new color starting school isn't been prepared, those children were prepared. You roll them once, you roll them twice, we'll get to that soon. And it was very set up, very good. But he, the night, this Friday morning, he didn't, I think he did not go. He didn't sleep at night. The time slept an hour to Thursday night. He prepared. He went to prepare the sheet. It took an hour to prepare. He prepared the sheet. No, he said it already. They had it printed, but that, it was like brand new. To the extent that he said, not by us in Shiva, but before my time, in Shiva on the side, I think he said 12 o'clock on Friday. That's what he said during the week. He said Friday, and in short Shabbos, it's only left a little bit of time on the inside, those who went home, wherever they went. It was when the winter Shabbos, two guys were there, they said the shiur regular. That was not a difference to how many people sitting in front of him. The shiur was with the same geschmack and the bren, and then all the nuances that he didn't make it up. That's where he lived. So he was very, he slept much less. I don't know if it was a physical matana that he had, or just I think the chesh katoyim that he had, that's really what it was. So he used to say, let's say for Shabbos, someone turned on a light because of Shabbos, without Shabbos. Said, someone forget the day of his wedding? Who's going to forget the day of his wedding? The Torah gave you a Shabbos. He said, that's a matana. What, you can't forget it. You can't forget that today's Shabbos. It's not possible. Though. You're detached from Shabbos. So someone who's whole life is Torah. He's not detached from Torah. Every second is Torah. So he did sleep a little. He would come in even this morning. He didn't have this business of, you know, he wasn't up Dafka the whole night. He came in for 3:30, 4 o'clock, and he was very that maybe in other lots way he was able to bring out even better. They say that he worked on a midah 30 years, which midah supposedly was achila. So a lot of people work on achila the other way 30 years. They work, you know, to build it up. But they say he worked to break it. Now what does that mean? I can tell you that whatever they was, it was the house, I'll tell you in a minute what he ate. But yeshiva, if he came every week to yeshiva, so it was a regular two. He ate two eggs, and of course every single day would have a hunch of wolf. You know, they had a problem with cholesterol, he didn't have a problem with cholesterol. Two eggs every day with two slices of bread, a coffee, breakfast, fine. And then, but in yeshiva's camp, the Rebbetzin didn't cook. We had one big kitchen. So, that means he ate the kugel with all the oil, I tell you how many gallons went in, and the cholent, and the cakes. And I saw on something very interesting, it was a shayla l'chala kugel. Don't take a psak, there was a question at what point the kugel becomes the tzvetzel chala, at what point the normal chala avoytin becomes, I think that's so concerning. Right? I can't tell you on that one. But how do you determine how to make the brocha? You have to tell me the brocha, you have to know what it is. So, I think it's Reya HaTorah. He just made a bezoidus and ate it. So, but he ate everything. What we couldn't eat, well, we say it wasn't a joke. The cook, we had a Hungarian cook, I'll tell you also, very interesting. Someone was a sheriff at a place, he went through the war, he was a part of the blew all bridges, it was before the war, he was in business, and he made it through. They came out in the middle of the concentration camp, they pulled him out and said, cook, permanent cook, and he had no choice. He learned on the spot how to cook, and he helped a lot of people, he used to smuggle out potatoes, and he made it that to make it through the war. He could have been a big businessman. He stayed and cooked for the yeshiva. And I can tell you that if you put a wick in his sufganiyah, it burned 8 days. That's how much trouble. It's not a guzma. But that's how they used to. And the yeshiva's about ate whatever he made. There was not a problem. So I didn't have anything with it. That's what it means. It wasn't into eating. You know, we're very busy. At night, you're thinking all night what you have breakfast. Breakfast is going to buy for lunch. Lunch is going to stop. And that's, I don't know about it, so, but that's an American system, you know. So, of course, he wasn't busy. The whole reason you're eating is a part of Benodin Latzvoy. The whole reason you're eating is to have koyach. So, whatever they serve me, I think that he was at a dinner And it's true, he ate everything because it didn't make a difference. That you could eat everything and don't make a difference. You're not looking, I need this. I believe that was at a dinner that served strawberry shortcake. And the Rebbe took his strawberry shortcake and gave it to her daughter, she was the wife, she was fine. And she wasn't to be she was probably on a diet. Anyway, they walked away. So he took one piece of cake and he ate it, put the plate back. He took the second piece and ate and put the plate back. And then when the rabbi came back, so she said, oh, she told the daughter, that was very good. And he ate it very, very good. And he ate both pieces. Not because he needed to eat it, it didn't have a time, it didn't mean anything. That disposes of the dough. Because it could be true. Because it's only I needed for myself. And he didn't see him doing that. But he understood other people. He always gave out mantak, and he gave out candy for kids, and this and that. And after that, shortly. That's been all done, the atzmai, that he knew what his kaivot and bailonmai, therefore the learning, obviously, he was a big masmid, obviously, he had gewaltige koichos hanefesh and learning, but they always point out that wasn't his, the fact that he's an evil, he's not his godless. I'm pretty sure, when we asked for brochas before Rosh Hashanah, he didn't give a bracha, should be a golden batoyim. A golden batoyim, you have to learn. Give me no bracha to be a golden batoyim. You don't press a machine. Give you a bracha. That's a lot of beruchness, that's a lot of bekashmir, especially that the person should be well. In Gesund, I think when he gave out the swarm, he used to give out the swarm for those who when the shamashim over the summer, he was there all summer, they wrote the bracha to the gashmir. But a bracha he didn't give, because that's the whole thing. You can't. I want to learn. You want to learn? Yeah, I want to learn. You don't want to learn. You want to learn. But you're already two steps removed. Of course, if you want to learn, just sit down and learn. And that's how we work. Because in this house, to go back a little bit, talk to Chesed, I'll go to Chesed soon. I'll give you a moshul, a good breakfast. After he stopped saying Shia, must be about 1980, about 1980, I think. He was really not well, and the shiurim were, that's not why he stopped, he wasn't well, he was after the pacemaker, but the shiurim were very, was broken down 5-6 weeks at the time, then he stopped coming to shiurim. He still came to Shon Yom Kippur, Shavuos he came, Mamash, so maybe the day before he was lifted, and that itself was a gewaltige chizuk, he didn't change anything, he learned the same hours. He was shocked, he was much weaker, but he learned the same hours, same getting up early. But I had a sister, when he stopped coming, my chaver mine said to me, you know what, you can't. Oh, you see him once, twice a year. We got up early, we had to walk into town, we were in a place that the yeshiva was nowhere near any great living area, as though to the extent that the Yom Kippur War, that was the only place I think in the world that didn't know till about 2 hours after Yom Kippur. That's to that extent. We found that all the way afterwards, that there was a Muhammad. You can imagine, because there was no yin around, there was nothing. So we walked in, we went to town, the town had to take a rapid transit. And then a ferry, and then it took about an hour and a half. I'll tell you, see what I tell you. An hour and a half, hour and 40 minutes, we got to the starting time for Shaka 7:30. This was a phenomenal tefillah. You have to understand, Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, it took an hour. Was that an hour on the clock? I mean, I got to go out and go to sleep for 40 minutes if he's out on a good shemesh, 20 minutes. If you go to sleep for 40 minutes. The reason it took us so long also, and once right before Kol Nidre, I gave him a name. It was Mr. Choyza. So he was already, I'll come back to Shem Kippur, but he was already prepared. So he couldn't expect that. He gave me his list that I should write it down. I took the list. There were 90 names on that paper, at least, divided into, he took all of his little papers from the whole year, divided into those who needed their food, and those who needed children, those who needed, for all the things. So 99 to Allah, and those names he had with him in his mazda, because I had a schus to use my mazda for many years. It came the first time to yeshiva was Rosh Hashanah Tov Shin Lamed Aleph, which was my first year. And someone had just given me a beautiful set of models, so he just printed Ashkenaz. And he came and didn't bring a master. Maybe soon someone would give him a master. So I gave him a master. So every year I had this list that he used my mazoyu. So in there, he had this list that I counted up the planets. So he was makabin, besides all of his kavonos that he had, it took him, you know, takes a long time. He was going through his tefillos. It took an hour. So his tefillos were very, you know, mechubin. But here, at the end of davening with a week, they actually volunteered, comes over to my chaver myself, little davening. They were davening in the house by him, it's not the shiva. He says in Yiddish, he says, you came now there. Then he said, you go back to yeshiva yet. Came last night? No. Came by car? No. Now, he used to go by car, so he had a shiva chesed, how long it took him to get by car. Maybe one other thing he has to remember, goes out of the room, goes into the kitchen, comes back a minute later, he's staying for breakfast. So, first of all, switching over a little bit to the chesed. I was somewhere in the chesed, he's talking about the golden ador. He has all the things to be taken care of. He made the chesed that if we left, then it takes an hour and a half, going back an hour and a half, we weren't going yet, you're 3-4 hours on the road, you're going to get back at 10:30, 11 o'clock, didn't bother him that we knew that we were on the first stage. That's what he cared about. I wanted to say, it wasn't his ace. But, so I got to eat something. Great, so it was a good breakfast. There was bread, and there was cheese, and there was cereals, and there was juice, and there was all types of things. And it was not the person, they didn't let him sit with us. He had a cold, I don't know what the story was. He was very upset. He really was. You know, then he walked by, we stood up. Sit. He was a very... careful, I would say. He was a very normal person, although he was the God of Hadar, he was normal because he was b'shleimus with himself. He didn't have to worry, do this. He knew exactly what to do. And Chesed Pak was a very, very great. First of all, we know that he had his own stock of funds that gave out a lot of money, and he was very careful with it. I remember that I once gave Erev Yom Kippur, I think Yom Kippur gave money to him because he had a fund called Tzorchei Yom to support from the Chacham. And then the Rebbe asked me what it was for, if it was mine or for, because I didn't know, the Rav, that's what she called the Rav, writes down everything that comes in, he wrote down everything that goes out, he wrote down. So it was a big cheshbon. And most of Yom Kippur, the truth was, I was carrying their beliefs. The first thing he asked for was his weekday pants from every kippah, the money was in there. He was very careful. He had a lot of things that, say, where he sit, if you remember, there was I was there when the Shaila was there. It's very interesting. The Shaila came right before Shabbos one morning on Siamese twins. There's a tshuva on it, I mean, imagine what the Shaila tshuva entails, a roidif, and you have to decide it. I was there when the Shaila came in, he literally trembled. It was a Yiddish couple. He didn't know what to do with himself. But it wasn't something the answer of the couple. It took quite a few days. And I remember they said that the Levaya, that the big doctor at that time was waiting for the surgeon. The doctors were very itchy to do this, very seldom, rare case and opportunity. So they were itching to do something. The big doctor said, we will not make a decision or how to make the operation until that venerable old sage on the Lower East Side who lived in a two bedroom or one bedroom apartment as the biggest pashtus, so he will render the decision. And that's how it was. So there Groyser Goldel, with all of his greatness, all of his koichus and everything, but he always the Tinnengat always had in mind another person. People ate in his house for Shabbosus regularly. People came once and stayed for 12, 15 years, they ate the Shabbos meals there. It was a regular thing. You have to remember that he lived in Lubam, where he was Rav. Tremendous Mesiris Nefesh. He was Rav. Interesting to note, I'm just going to switch back and forth a bit. When he was a Rav, we don't have such a Matthias there of Malchus. Man Malchus Rabon, the Gemara says. He was a Melech. He wasn't allowed to walk in the street himself. He was 20-some-odd years old. The way he became a Rav, also for some most people, not because I say, he was drafted, it was born, let's say, 1895. It was drafted for the war, must be just about First World War time, but it was in Russia, was drafted for the war. There was no way out of it. So they tried it a lot of different ways. And his father was from the biggest Gedoy the Mamish. The only reason we don't know a little bit of this is because they were in little towns in Russia. Russia was cut off, you know, later on, especially during the communist regime, was cut off from us. So Moshe sat in his town, and he had chuvas, all the Gedoyim, he had chuvas stuff when he was, don't know what age, 22 big chuvas to this Zalman, but the rest of the world didn't know about it until much later, because it just wasn't, there was no big communication. But his father took him to the Chofetz Chaim, and he came in, and Chofetz Chaim, I think, told him the following. It's also a very famous speech of Chofetz Chaim. The Mishnah says, "From Kabbalah all of oil, Torah about him, Meral Dechert. Some accepts all Torah, then all this extracurricular things that he has to do, this and this. Maybe doesn't say Kol Halom the Torah. Kol Mekabbalah all of. In Mekabbalah Torah, you're willing to accept the version will take away all your daigas. At that time, was up for the position in Lubam. That town was up to open for the Rov, and." I'm not sure if he was hesitating going off the paper, maybe he wanted to just learn, but he accepted the thing that happens to be that when they went out the next morning on the way home, the Chofetz Chaim was in exile, then he was not in the Rav. And they saw the pasting signs that anyone from the draft of that particular age that she want was exempted. The man was exempted from the draft, he went back, accepted the Rabbonis. It was a Chosh Rabbonis, and suddenly he wasn't allowed. His Shamus was Rebbeinu Pravatsky's father. He was his Shamus. I think it's Rebbeinu Pravatsky's father. And Moshe was a prayer. He was 22, 23 years old. And here was the Eid, 75, 80 years old. He comes in the morning to pick him up. And that was not his style. So the next morning, he got a half hour early to go. This was a game they played, but Rav wasn't allowed to walk in town himself. Rav had his own business, he sold yeast and candles. I think that by his father, his father was by his father that there was someone, one of the people in town, or maybe the head of the town was already. Well, he was at work and he was very angry, and he used to daven, it took long, it took away from work. And one time decided he's going to shoot him. He'll shoot above his head. So when he went to Moedim, he said, come up, he'll shoot him. But he didn't know nothing around him. He went for the grace of Gedolim. Okay, so now I'm going to rush a little bit. But that was a Malchus, but he was a Yid. We know it was Gavus and 3,400 times that he learned Shulchan Aruch. I have no clue what it means, 250 times Shas, I have no clue. I can only tell you that he never looked to a Gemara like this. And sure, the Gemara's went, that's where we found the Gemara, all the Mephoshim, Hofer, the Yosha, Hofer. That was not because of his illusion. He wasn't evil, but it wasn't because he was evil. Because of his real heart of Anya. And he loved people, he was a people person, and at times that he was. They allowed people to get there, like that. So we went in. He needed, why did I have to breakfast? Because he needed to speak to people. That's a normal person who is Shlemus Batoira. His avoider, like I said, Tfilah was phenomenal. His koyach of, I will call it Moifsim, but it wasn't Moifsim. I can tell you one or two things that I do know firsthand, but that's not Moifsim. I believe there's a three in Pinchas says that a tzaddik is roya mitzoyfo el vatzoyfo. What does that mean? The certain tzaddik, if you look at them, I can tell you the tzaddik was a friend of Rosh, with the Mapsa from a few other people. If you look, Moshe too. If you looked at their heads, there was a shine, and it wasn't because their head was oily. There was a real shine on their head because the more zachanoki a person is, he sees what it means roya mitzoyfo el vatzoyfo. Because the gashmi is not. Dividing, no barriers to see what there is. And that is through Koyach HaTorah, he was able to do Moifsin. I can tell you, in the 50s, before anyone knows from things, personal family story. There was a person, relative of mine, was a very modern person, more modern than young Israel type, the Shabbos. The lady was not able to have, she had one child, wasn't able to have a second child, they went down, it's a halacha issue. They discussed the issue, he told her that they can't help but be a halacha, but a bracha to give her. He gave her a bracha, and right away, that was the next child she had, and she didn't have any children after that, but that was it. Bracha. Moifas, not Moifas, apparently, yes. It was by us. Later, it's a famous story, but it's a true story. It was the lady, just show you, he went together, his Torah and his chesed for another person, chesed meaning he wasn't able to be toivo. When he walked in camp, we had to move, the family had to move the bungalows one after the other, but those with the young children, we couldn't put them anymore next to him, because if a child would cry in a crib, in a room, well, the parent doesn't remember that child every time, they'd go crazy. He would come down from his bungalow, go up to the crib, and say, like, where's the parents? What type of crazy parents? This kid's fine. They would take the kid out and then play with him, whatever. My daughter was with 9 months old, I brought in for a brocha, he's wearing film, and even put it on his lap, and he's playing, and she's pulling the bed. It was a bit, because, as one of my Rashkishim said, he was the captain, he was the father of Klal Yisrael. Wasn't a separate individual. But a lady came in, and she said, Rebbe, I need a brocha for children. And I saw such a thing about her all shorts, a lady made him crazy. Made him crazy! The same thing. So he said, you promised me a child. I can't promise you a child. Where do I promise you a child? And she's screaming and commanding. One of the gaboyim was there, and he asked her to take her out. No, let her. It's good for her. She gets on the floor and she's screaming and she's crying. Rebbe. Anyway, I guess went on 5-10 minutes. And he says, no. He says, listen, I can't promise you a child. Because did you have a munas chachom that I could give you the bracha, so Moshe should give you a bracha. So she jumped up, she says, Rebbe, when? It was Nis. She says, Nis, going well with this. Nis and E is different time of El Tisha Cheshu Kislev, before Chanukah. So she had a 7-month baby to Chanukah. But anyway, she says, But what is it called? You can't say, you can do these things, you can't just pull the rabbit out of the hat. But the Koyach HaTorah was to such an extent. You had Gewaldige wrap up, you had Gewaldige Gavus Batorah that you look at the Truvas. No, I don't know for sure, but probably no one here sat to sit down to learn the Dibris Moshe. But you can't. It's just like, it'll take you. We had a system in Yeshiva that if they stopped saying Shir, the Koyach would say Dibris. It took me, I could tell you. So he wrote it, he put it together, it took me a whole week, it was a Friday, I think we said on Friday, I was up every single night, almost the whole night, maybe just an hour, to figure out more or less what he's talking about. And he had to make that shit. So it's not so accessible, that's why he wrote her orders, but the Koyach HaTorah was to the extent, from beginning, the first kasha, that's our goal, is eight kashas, and 10 kashas on the Gemara, and then the Rashi, then the Tosfos, and the Rambam, and it never stopped, because it's a consistency, it never stopped all the way to the end. Just finish up with this, we learned, commented, here's our code with the Torah, and Torah, two things that he was very careful. Later on, when he had his pacemaker, so the doctor said he should learn with an air conditioner. I mean, he put an air conditioner now. I don't know if they have to put one in, but they put one in the country, it's happened, he had the pacemaker, I think, midsummer, not sure. But anyway, in the country, they put it in an air conditioner's room. This room was only about the size of this room here. It was they put it on an air of Shabbos, and it was 100, if I'm not mistaken, it was 102 degrees, something like the last Shabbos. And he was sitting outside learning, and everyone was sitting in this room. Everyone walked by the episode that come to an air conditioner in the country. That was from the first, in those days, it was 76 maybe. And there were 60 people in the room, was over there 400 degrees in that room, and he was learning outside. He held the mice, and he wouldn't learn the English until maybe he was pushed to it, because if he had that comfortability level to learn the air conditioner, he would be'echus, not be'kambus, be'echus learn less. He will not learn the same way, he'll be more comfortable. I don't know, I see here there's no standards, there's one standard. In Yeshiva we have no standards. because I don't know how you do it exactly, but I think that if you want to try to try, then you sit back and you push the shtems into your stomach and you're laying back as well. So he said he didn't allow an issue because the way a person has complete hikus hamoyes, that 100%, very few people use 100% of the mind, but to use 100% of your mind, he sat only, like he's sitting, we had a nice red chair, red leather chair, and he used to sit during the chair all the time, exactly like this, on the edge of the chair, when he laid back in between sentences, or in between pieces, so it wasn't comfortable either, because he only leaned back, he didn't lean back in the chair ever. Because the only way to learn and come to halacha the mice is 100%, well, that's 100%, not try, so you're missing something. I believe Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said that that was why he was zoyeh for that halacha kamoyis to become mokim, for that mahalach. What was the mahalach? The mahalach was to use 100% of concentration. So the mahalach is we have to, the Eved should help us, we have a lot of things we have to take care of before Rosh Hashanah, but koyach of chesed, of tefillah, of torah, mokim torah, should be a big plus for all the loindim, and should bring the Shnaz Gula Yeshua, Taksiva Simitoyah.